You're listening to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the DFS Karma Podcast Network. Now here's your host with the most, Jack Caparuccio.
And welcome back to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the Karma Media Network. I'm your host, Jack Caparuccio, aka Clinic Cap on Twitter. This is episode number 6 of the No Cap Podcast. Today we're going over my redraft news, a mailbag, my sneaky starts of the week, the Dynasty Dish, and some of my favorite NFL player props for Thursday Night Football. Let's get right into it. So there's a lot of redraft news to go over. You know, as it is this time of year, things just start flying, people start landing places, and we just got to talk about it as we go. So the biggest piece of news that happened this week is Latavius Murray of the New Orleans Saints has been cut. They released him, they asked him to take a pay cut, and he said no thank you, and now he is a free agent. So for Latavius Murray, I'd expect him to sign somewhere that is needy of an RB2 type. I could honestly see the Buffalo Bills being a good fit for him. I thought the Ravens were a good fit, as did everyone else on Twitter, until they went and signed somebody else, who I will talk about in a second. But the most important part for this is Tony Jones. Tony Jones has been reportedly looking really good through all of training camp and preseason. And there were some reports that he could take that RB2 job away from Latavius Murray, regardless if he's on the roster or not. So now he rises to relevance, and I really think he should be added in every league. You know, and some people might say, because I had said something on Twitter, like, go add Tony Jones. And have a lot of people saying that, you know, oh, well, obviously he should have been added a month ago. But the case, in fact, is that not everyone plays in these, you know, 12, 16 team leagues, even more than that. Not everyone plays Dynasty year-round. Not everyone may have even drafted their teams yet. The majority of people are redraft players, and, you know, there was a lot of good conversation of, you know, oh, Tony Jones or this guy to add to my roster. So while the obvious take might seem very obvious within our small Twitter bubble, it is not always the obvious answer, and this stuff needs to be talked about regardless, because there are people out there wondering if this is the answer. So yes, go add Tony Jones. For me, he's a handcuff who could have some weekly flex upside, and, you know, forbid anything ever happened to Alvin Kamara, he could become very relevant very quickly. This next piece of news just happened. Le'Veon Bell has signed to the Ravens practice squad, and he's likely going to be elevated to the 53-man roster quickly. So as far as fantasy implications for this, I talked about a hypothetical Bell to the Ravens a little bit yesterday. But for me, it's not so much about Le'Veon Bell having standalone value. I really don't think he will. But I do think in the range of outcomes for him, he could, you know, become more of a goal line role. He could steal 3 to 5 rushing touchdowns away from Gus Edwards, which I think is enough to ding his value, because a lot of Edwards' fantasy value is going to come from that goal line work, since he isn't noted for catching passes and since the offense doesn't really, you know, throw the ball to the running back in the first place. So, you know, people are going to say he's dust, he's old. Yes, he is old, and obviously he's not as good as he used to be, but we have to remember that even if he takes 3 to 5 touchdowns away from Gus Edwards over the course of the season, that's going to impact his value. I'm not saying, oh, don't draft Gus Edwards now. I'm just saying it becomes a little bit riskier if this were to happen with Bell. Not saying it's going to, but we need to acknowledge that this could very well happen. They're bringing him in for a reason. Obviously, they need a body. But, you know, I would like to think he was better than Justice Hill was at this point in his career. Next piece of injury news is Chris Godwin with a quad injury just popped up on the injury report late this week. If you want to see stuff like that, we have a free NFL injury tracker over on dfskarma.com. It's updated all the time, and it's easy to view. You can see details on stuff like this all the time. But I would be concerned about this. You know, it sounds like a soft tissue injury or some kind of tightness he's dealing with. And Godwin has played through injuries in the past, but we should still be a little bit concerned with something this late in the week coming. They're probably not going to want to push him week 1. So, you know, we need to monitor this one. If more details come out that he's not doing well up to the game and warmups or anything, then he could be on a snap count, which would be really bad if he's in your lineup. So, you know, this is a spot where Antonio Brown could become very valuable this week, especially with a soft Cowboys matchup. Other news, Tyrod Taylor has been named the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. That was pretty much decided a while ago. They're saying Deshaun Watson's just basically going to sit on the bench the whole season. They're not going to trade him. They're not going to do anything with him. He's just going to sit there and take up a spot on the 53-man roster. So with Tyrod Taylor, obviously, any option on the Texans outside of maybe Brandon Cooks is pretty much a no-go unless you're in a really deep league. Then Nico Collins looks nice as a nice stash as a perimeter receiver who could have some touchdowns. But other than that, nothing too exciting. Last piece of news is Saquon Barkley is reportedly close to full clearance for week one. I've been saying it, even if he's cleared week one full go, I wouldn't expect the Giants to just give him a full, 20 carry workload right off the bat. I think they're going to ease him in. But obviously, if you drafted Saquon Barkley, you're putting him in your starting lineup. You probably had to take him in the first or second round. So you probably don't have a lot of better options outside of him. So for my redraft mailbag today, I went to two places for questions. I did my normal stuff on Twitter, but then I also asked our Discord channel of our season-long people who are in a free Discord chat. We talk about fantasy all day long, all night, everything, because they always have the best questions, I feel. This first one is from Twitter, is at Matthew Gray, at MattyG1996. He asked, week one flex, Antonio Brown, Cortland Sutton, Deebo Samuel, or Corey Davis? So out of these four options, I don't know the scoring format. He didn't list that, so I'm going to assume at least half PPR or full PPR. I'm honestly still probably going AB. I don't love Thursday night games for whatever reason. They always don't pan out the way you'd think they would. But still, with what I just talked about with Godwin, I think AB becomes a safer play. And like I said, the Dallas offense isn't good. So I think, AB is probably a lock for 4 to 6 catches, maybe a touchdown. And these other guys have worse matchups, in my opinion. And the second part of his question is, what are you doing about them Cowboys with Zach Martin on the COVID list? So for me, I'm more in on the pass catchers like Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb this week. Obviously, like the Barkley situation, if you have Zeke, you're starting. Like, you have to start him regardless because you got to start your studs. You probably don't have better options. But really, there's not much you can do at this point, but hold on. Be concerned. Hopefully the pass rush doesn't get to Dak Prescott too quickly. This next question is also from Twitter. Comes from at Festivus Squad. He asks, Brandon Ayuk or Antonio Brown, full PPR in my wide receiver 3 slot? I love Ayuk. I like him better than Antonio Brown over the course of the season. I think he's got a lollipop matchup against the Lions, but he's another one like Godwin where you got to monitor him. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury for like 2-3 weeks now. He's just started doing some sprints and things like that in practice, but we got to be careful and watch him because he's another player that I don't think the 49ers are going to push him again, especially against an easy Lions team to beat. So it's a tough spot to be in because obviously Antonio Brown plays Thursday. So if you're erring on the side of caution, I would probably go with Antonio Brown. But I think Ayuk has the higher upside on the week if you really have to shoot for upside. These next two questions are from Discord. The first one's from Dame Got Game. He asks, what players do you see having regression this year? So a brief explanation of regression. It's regression to the mean, which means, regression down to the average of what's expected for a player to have. So some prime examples I've talked about are pretty much the entire Green Bay Packers offense. Devontae Adams had a ridiculous amount of receiving touchdowns last year on a low passing volume. Robert Tonyan had a ridiculous amount on a low passing volume. Aaron Rodgers had a pretty high amount of passing touchdowns on a low passing volume relative to what his output was. So the Packers offense for me has been a regression candidate the whole offseason. These stats don't tend to hold year over year, especially at touchdowns. And I'm not saying the Packers aren't going to be good. Like, Aaron Rodgers still being good. Devontae Adams still be good. Tonyan's probably the one that's the most up in the air because he's only got 1 year of sample size and it was all high touchdown outputs. So he'd be the one I'm most worried about. But I think the ADP he's at right now has already baked in all of that risk. But I would say probably the scariest one is Adams because if he doesn't get, 10 plus touchdowns, which he probably get 10, but if he doesn't have this high rate of touchdowns, he's not going to return value for you on ADP because he's going consistently as a wide receiver one overall. And I understand why he is. I get it. He was phenomenal last year and he's tied to a Hall of Fame quarterback. I can't knock drafting him. I'm just saying these are guys that I think will have less touchdowns than they did last year. This last question comes from Monotone Stu. He asked, how do you navigate start sit this early on with teams with 3 strong wide receivers like the Bengals, Steelers, Bucks, etc.? So for me, it depends on what the rest of my roster looks like, in all honesty. Like, if I need a guy that's just going to get me 10 points, like I just need 10 points to win this week, then, in the case of the Bengals, I'll throw in Tyler Boyd. In the case of the Steelers, I'll throw in Juju. In the case of the Bucks, I'll throw in AB. But if I need that upside, if I'm down 20 going into a matchup, then I look for the upside. So if the case of the Bengals, It's probably T. Higgins, but Ja'Marr Chase, if he fixes his drop issues, could be the highest upside guy in that offense. For the Steelers, it's Chase Claypool, touchdown threat, and the Bucs, it's Mike Evans, because we've seen his double-digit touchdown games, and he can be streaky. Mike Evans seems like he's either 40 points or he's zero. He's like no in between. So if you need consistency, it might not be great, but if you're shooting for the upside, I would go for the guys with the highest touchdown threats in that offense. So this next segment is one I'm going to be doing every week during the season. It's called my Sneaky Starts of the Week. And I do this because I seem to always see the same start sit questions in articles every year. It's like, start Patrick Mahomes, start Ezekiel Elliott, start Saquon Barkley. Like, yeah, of course you're going to start them. If you drafted Patrick Mahomes, you probably don't have a better option. You're going to start them. So I'm trying not to have these obvious starts that everyone else has everywhere. And these are guys that I think are probably going to end up like in a flex spot for you, or maybe a wide receiver two, wide receiver three, depending on your league format. And for the most part, aren't these obvious glaring, like, yeah, I have to put them in my lineup. But sometimes these guys that are, you know, these ones that are overlooked, I think end up winning you weeks. So my first candidate for a sneaky start of the week is rookie Devonta Smith versus the Falcons. We haven't seen a lot of Smith. He was banged up in the preseason and training camp. But what we did see of him is that he was hyper-targeted. He's a great route runner, great separator, and he can catch the football, which is more to say than what the Eagles have had in the past. Think of what you will, Jalen Hurts. This matchup against the Falcons is about as easy as it comes because their defense was absolutely horrendous last year. And the Falcons still have a good offense, and the Eagles' defense isn't something to write home about. So this game could very well be a shootout. And, you know, I like to chase the volume with my wide receivers, and I think Devonta Smith's going to have the highest target share of any offensive weapon on this team. So for me, he's a start of the week. He might not be one that you feel comfortable with, but like I just talked about, if you need upside, I think he presents that, especially in full PPR. My next one is Corey Davis against the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are another team that, even though they've been investing a lot in their defense the last 2 years, they're still not quite up to speed. We don't know exactly what they're going to look like. So I think Davis can really take advantage of this matchup here. And we've already seen that Davis is Zach Wilson's favorite target. He's been targeted by far the most in preseason. So I think Davis is a lock in this spot early on. I could see, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20 points for him. It'll depend if he gets a touchdown or not. But I think he's not only a really safe, but he's also a high ceiling play this week. My last sneaky start of the week is Marvin Jones against the Texans. So this is another one you have to monitor because Marvin Jones sprained his shoulder a couple weeks ago. They say he's fine. They say he's going to be ready for week one. And much like Corey Davis, he looked like the best option, the most comfortable option with his rookie QB, Trevor Lawrence. He was hyper-targeted in the preseason. He looked good. And all reports have been that he's been the leader in that wide receiver room and that he should have the best production, at least early on. So I'm starting him against Houston no matter what. If he's in the lineup, he's in mine. Because we all know Houston is a hot dumpster fire. And on defense, it's even worse. So, you know, we're on to the Dynasty Dish. My Dynasty Dish is a bit shorter today because I'm really trying to do more redraft content in season because I know that's what most of you need. But to keep it brief, Tony Jones is a Dynasty sell if you can. He's one of those prime guys that as soon as a piece of news comes out, I'm putting him on my trade block. And if somebody's going to offer me a future second round pick, I'm taking it. While I still like him as an RB2, RB3 on some weeks, you know, he's still an Alvin Kamara injury away from being extremely relevant. So you could get a guy that really loves Tony Jones. And trust me, those guys are out there in Dynasty. There are some people who have been talking about him for a long time. You can put him on the trade block. And if somebody's like, oh, well, I need a safe RB3 for some weeks, they'll gladly sometimes give you a second round pick for that. And you can capitalize on this hype spike. I'm going to say it again. I've already said it before, to buy Ja'Marr Chase again before the values go up. I talked about Ja'Marr Chase a little bit a couple weeks ago and some trades I made for him, but the news hasn't gotten any better. They're still talking about the drops he's had. They're talking about him losing playing time to, you know, a borderline wide receiver three on the team. And this is the perfect opportunity for you to bet on the talent. If you were a believer in Ja'Marr Chase going into the draft process, you still should be. You know, he didn't play football for a year. He's obviously going to have rust, and he's talked about what he needs to do to better those issues. And this is one of those chances you have to take. If you can send out a future first-round pick for him and get Ja'Marr Chase, I'm doing that all day long. Because, you know, at his peak ceiling, he's a top five fantasy option in the entire league when he develops into that. If he doesn't develop, then he was a bust. But he's the type of guy I'm more than willing to take the chance on, because this is one of the only times, you know, an elite talent like this is going to be low and being a buy scenario. You know, if Jamar Chase, say week four, has, you know, four catches for 80 yards and a touchdown, the buy window has closed because people are like, oh, well, he's fine now. He's got a good role in the offense. And you won't be able to get him after that. You know, people are going to make you sell their farm to even consider him. So now's the time if you want him. If you're not in on Chase and you don't believe in the talent, that's a totally different story. And that's fine if that's what, you know, your assessment of him has led you to. But if you do like him, you know, I think now's the time before the season starts. So this is just a general tip for playing Dynasty. I like to use the first 4 weeks of the season to assess my team, figure out if you're a contender or pretender this season. You know, if you start off 0-4 and you look at, you know, your team and you look at the other teams in your league, you're like, ah, I don't know how I'm going to win more than four games the whole season. I'm not going to sniff the playoffs, that's for sure. Then you start shuffling around some pieces and you start selling off some of those older players you have for draft picks or a young player in a draft pick and do that and sell them to contending teams. And this is not to say to tank your team. I talked about it earlier this week on Twitter and some people, you know, disagreed greatly with it, but I'm not with tanking in Dynasty. And people will say, you know, well, it's good to do a hard reset, you know, for 1 year and then you're going to be good next year. You don't know that. You don't know if you're going to hit on those draft picks. You have no idea if those guys are going to work out. You know, say you accumulate 10 first round picks over the next 2 years. Unless you're hitting on all those, you're not going to fill out your roster and you're going to be in the same spot you were. And all you did was forfeit two years worth of league dues to the charity pot of the rest of your league to take it from you. So I'm the type of person who, you know, likes a productive struggle. You should always be trying to compete. You should always be setting up your best lineup to, you know, give people to have that competitive edge to you in your leagues. But don't just sell out and go, oh, I'm not going to set my lineup so I get the number one pick. Like, one, you'll probably get kicked out of your dynasty league if you do that. And two, it's just not any fun for anyone. So, like I said, you can, if your team is struggling, you can go ahead and sell out. Like, if you have an Adam Thielen and you know you're not going to use him, go ahead, sell him for a younger player and maybe a lower pick. Like, do that kind of stuff. But don't just blow the doors off your entire team and have a fire sale because, one, you're probably not going to get the values back they're worth because everyone's going to look at you and go, yep, he's tanking. You can get the guys for cheap now and we can win. And, you know, two, you're going to lose all your assets. Like, it's just silly logic to me because I don't know why you would want to purposely lose and just give away money for multiple years. The last segment for today's show is Thursday Night Football player props. And like I had mentioned, I'm not always crazy about Thursday night games, and especially week one of the NFL season, the first game. But there are some values to be had on DraftKings Sportsbook, in my opinion. And some of these lines have already moved since I've written them up. So I, you know, get in on them now while you can before they move too far to the point of not being a value. But I've got three player props that I think are worth pursuing in this game. The first one is Ronald Jones' second anytime touchdown scorer at plus 120 odds. And I know, touchdowns are not what we'd call a sticky stat, which means they're not highly predictable week over week. But I am loving this anytime touchdown prop on Ronald Jones for the first game of this regular season. Because when healthy, Jones has looked to be the best running back in that backfield. He easily has the most life in his legs in the group consisting of Leonard Fournette, Giovanni Bernard, and, you know, the forgotten Keyshawn Vaughn. In just 14 games last year, Jones rushed for 7 touchdowns and averaged 0.5 rushing touchdowns per game he played. And given his career averages, this is essentially a 50-50 bet for this week's game. It also helps that, you know, the Dallas Cowboys defense was softer than vanilla sherbet on a hot day last season. It was not very good, and I don't expect it to be that much better week one. There's an easy path for the Buccaneers to go up by multiple scores early in this game and shift the focus to the run game, which would also, you know, lead further credence to this bet. So I'm betting one unit on Ronald Jones to score a touchdown any time in the game at plus 120 odds to profit 1.2 units. My next one is Amari Cooper over 5.5 catches at plus 110 odds. Through 16 games last season, Amari Cooper averaged 5.75 catches per game. But that number is a little bit misleading. When Dak Prescott was in the starting lineup and healthy, Cooper averaged 9.25 receptions on 12.75 targets a game. Cooper was easily the most targeted wide receiver in this offense with Prescott last season and was producing an obscene clip. While the Tampa Bay defense is one of the best in football, I fully expect Cooper to go over 5.5 catches. In a game where the Cowboys should be in a negative game script playing catch-up all day, Cooper should see anywhere between 8 and 12 targets in the passing game. I'm loving the current odds, and I'm betting 1 unit on Amari Cooper over 5.5 catches at plus 110 to profit 1.10 units. And a side note, these odds have already moved to plus 105, and I need to check again because I would bet they're probably at plus 100 now. They're getting close to being a favored bet, so I would do it now before they keep moving. My last one is Greg Zuerlein over 1.5 field goals made at negative 110 odds. I know, it's weird, a kicker prop. But I fully expect Dallas drives to stall out in this game. I think, you know, if the Bucs defense is even half as good as last year, then the Cowboys are going to have some drives get stuck before the red zone. I like Zuerlein for over 1.5 field goals made in a game where the Cowboys should be looking to take every point they can get against the defending Super Bowl champs. I'm betting 1 unit on Greg Zuerlein over 1.5 field goals made at negative 110 to profit 0.10 units. That's it for today's show. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at ClinicCap. And if you like the show, be sure to subscribe or follow the show anywhere podcasts can be found so that you never miss an episode. And leave a quick review if you'd be so kind. If you want to ask me questions directly about fantasy football, head over to dfskarma.com and join our free chat room where you can talk to me nearly 24/7, 365. If you want even more fantasy help and access to our proprietary tools, you can get our Fantasy Karma Season Pass today over at dfskarma.com. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the No Cap Podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review anywhere podcasts can be found.